Well, we thank the Lord this morning to be back together. I wrote on the board Thanksgiving. And, I was thinking about this. It seemed like through the week the Lord had this on my mind, and I just been so inspired. You know, Thanksgiving is a really wonderful and awesome attitude to have. Do you know that? Did you know how much freer it is to be thankful than it is to be angry or bitter? Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing to have. And you know, it ties us in with our Creator, doesn't it? Because what are we thankful for? Are we thankful because life somehow threw us the right things? We're thankful because God has favored people like us. Anybody that he's favored all people in that he lets the rain fall and the good things come, and yet he favors those that humble their hearts to him, doesn't he? You know, it's a privilege to live thankfully. You know, that's a privilege, because when you meet anger and bitterness. We've got a sign out here on the highway. I think it says something about forsaking hate. How does it say that? What's the word? Something like forsake hate. You know, those things are dark. They fill our hearts with darkness, don't they? You know what it's like to be free, to be thankful, to know that there is a Heavenly Father above that cares for you and me, and therefore we can have a spirit of thanksgiving in our life. We don't have to be bound up in attitudes that cause us great grief in life. You know, the attitude that we have toward the happenings in our life has a lot to do with our happiness. Did you know that? The way that we view the things that have happened in our life, that has happened in our life, those attitudes really affect our overall general well-being, feeling of well-being, don't they? And when we see God in things of our life, we see something wonderful, don't we? I believe that the Scriptures tell us that He'll make all things work together for good to those that love God and those that are called according to His purpose. God will do that, won't He? And so this morning, I just want us to think about the good soil in our life of thanksgiving, and cultivating that kind of soil has a lot to do with the atmosphere of your life and of your home and of your workplace in the spot you're in and around that. And so we have something to cultivate. In November of 1621, I'm just reading from what I copied out. In November of 1621, after the Pilgrims' first corn harvest proved successful, Governor William Bradford organized a celebratory feast and invited a group of the fledgling colony's Native American allies, including the Wampanoag chief Massasoit. You know, he wanted to thank God, didn't he, for what God had provided. You know, things hadn't been perfect for them all the time. And he could have been real bitter about the one or two kernels of corn, for many days at times. But I want to tell you, the blessing that they had in having that good corn harvest, he was very thankful for that. And I'm glad he kind of started a little thing that we still follow. One of the pilgrims wrote, "God be praised, we had a good increase of corn, And by the goodness of God, we are far from want. Consequently, they declared a 3-day feast. And whether that was in what date, I don't know exactly. But you know, this morning, our country chooses to celebrate the 4th Thursday of Thanksgiving every year. I mean, the 4th Thursday of November for a Thanksgiving Day. And I just want to encourage us today to enjoy this. Enjoy this week. We should be thankful every day. But you know, there's special days, and there's nothing wrong with a few special days. Thank the Lord we can celebrate a thankful heart this week. And we can share with those around us. You know, times like this is a time that you have an opportunity to share in ways that you don't normally. And so, let's be thankful this week. And, you know, the sign I was talking about, it says abandon hate. That's the term. Abandon hate. And so this morning we can have the kind of attitude that we want to. We can hate if we want. We can be bitter about things that have happened in our life if we want. We can be full of turmoil about things we don't understand. Or we can just thank God that we have what we do. And so I have learned that, you know, sometimes nights of sleep when you get older don't happen very well. And maybe you don't always get a half a night's sleep even, or a full night's sleep. And I do pretty good a lot of times. But, you know, this morning what I have realized is I thank God for every moment of sleep I get. When I get up in the morning, I want to thank God for that, Lord, I can be mobile today. I've got a good mind today. I thank you. I have food on the shelf today. And probably most of us do. And if you don't, let me know. Because I want you to have food on your shelf. You know, and we all want you to have food on your shelf. We have something to be thankful for, don't we? We can look at what we don't have or what we do have. And so I want to look in Matthew, the 14th chapter. And I pray that the Lord would give us a little help as we go here, Matthew 14 and 14, because I think there's some things for us to feed from by reading the scriptures. And it says here, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. You know, we're pretty good at telling the Lord what to do, aren't we? We don't watch it. We're pretty good at telling God, it's time to send them away. Well, that wasn't his thoughts at all, and I'm so glad it wasn't. And so Jesus, it says, but Jesus said unto them, they need not depart, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And, you know, Jesus took those 5 loaves and those 2 fish. And it says, looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake. You know, that word blessed, if you look it up, Thayer says that it means to praise or celebrate with praises. Number 2, to invoke blessings. You know, Jesus took this little dab of food. Now, there it says here in this reading that there was 5,000 men, not counting the women and children. Let's just say there was 10,000, counting women and children. I would say it's probably more than that, be my guess. But there was 5,000 men and then others. And so there was 5 loaves of bread and there was 2 fish. And the disciples were like, what did they say? We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Lord, this is all we've got. This isn't enough. Send them away. But you know, this morning, Jesus sees things through such different eyes, and he wants to open our eyes to see. And so he took those 5 loaves because, see, he knew there was a God. He was God. And so there was something very different in his demeanor because of that. Do you know that we know there's a God too? You know that we believe in that? Not just a total faith. It's by faith. But we've seen God work, haven't we? Many, many times. We've seen God do things, haven't we? Over and over. We know there's a God. Thankfully, we know that. You know, this morning, Jesus never looked at those 5 loaves and 2 fishes and said, I don't think it's enough. He took that little dab that they had, and he gave thanks for it. And he praised the Lord for it. Thank you. I can only imagine a few of his words would have been, thank you, Father, that we have these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And now, Lord, we want you to bless this 5 loaves and 2 fishes because we have a multitude to feed. You see the difference in his demeanor, in his attitude, in his thoughts toward all of this? Jesus saw that God was going to supply the need. Do you know that we can see, this covers so many areas of our life. Don't we know that we can see that God can supply the needs of our life? You know, we have many different kinds of needs, don't we? Emotional needs, spiritual needs, physical needs, job needs, relational needs, on and on. We have so many areas. And we can look at that and we can say, you know, Lord, this just isn't going to work. Or do we really believe God? And we look to him and say, Father, thank you that we have this little bit. Now increase it and feed the multitude. Give these 10,000 or 20,000 people, give them food to eat from this. Folks, I really believe God wants to increase our faith. I really believe that all of this is a part of his plan. See, he set this up, perhaps. Maybe this is what God made sure happened. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough. Because he wanted to show the people God's power. He wanted to minister to the people. And many times we have needs and we fixate on the need. And these disciples, Lord, we just have, this is all we have. This isn't enough. Send them away. This is what you need to do, Lord. But that wasn't God's mind. He said, tell them to sit down. And he said, they need not depart. Verse 16, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. I want to tell you something. Give what you have to God. Don't be afraid and be selfish. Don't hide your life in selfishness. Give to the Lord. I want to tell you something. God didn't stop giving right here. This is just where he showed us that he could and would. He didn't stop there. And so he doesn't want our hearts to bind itself up in self-protection and all of these things until we're in this shell that surely we cannot be penetrated. Folks, the Lord wants our life to be one that gives and that shares and looks for the needs and prays to God to bless it. It's not in ourself, isn't it? And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude, and they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. Have you ever seen God give way more than you needed? I have lots of times. I want to tell you, and many of you all have too, I want to tell you, God is at work. Let's lift up our eyes and view the Lord for what he is. He is the God of heaven. He's the God of our salvation. He's the God of our needs. He isn't gone when we have a need. He doesn't disappear because we weren't able to fill it. He comes on the scene and he's moved with the feeling of our infirmities. Those things that we don't have enough of. The Lord is moved with that this morning. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. You know, Jesus knew all along what he was going to do. He knew that. He knew their need and he knew the answer to their need. And I want to tell you something this morning. The Lord wants us to have that perspective too. Because see, God is in the midst of these things, isn't he? That's why we can abandon hate. We can give it to God. That's why we can abandon our own worries. Do we worry? I will tell you, worry's a big deal, isn't it? It can just settle in on us. We all know what we're talking about. And we have to pray, Lord, help me here. I know you're going to take care of this. Why am I worrying about this? I want to tell you, folks, we need the grace of God, don't we? We need the grace of God to help us in life. And that's what God does. This was the grace, the goodness, the all-knowing God at work here. And he just fed the needs. Those people were hungry. They'd been out there a while. And he just fed them all. And they ate everything they wanted. And then there was a whole lot left over. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, this morning I just want to challenge us, folks. We serve a living God. We're not serving ourselves as the master. We're not serving something that we carved or made out of some molten material. We're serving the living God. We really are. And in all the things of life, he is there. And in all the things of life, he's going to make it work for our good. Don't you think he's not? If we humble ourselves to God during those times. Oh, this morning, the Lord bless us. I want to read this little song that came to me this morning, and so I looked it up. Consider the lilies. They don't toil nor spin. And there's not a king with more splendor than them. Lilies are beautiful. God made them that way. Christians are beautiful too. Did you know that? Let's let the Lord. We have to let him give us peace from heaven. We have to let the Lord help us to lay down our fears and worries. Consider the sparrows. They don't plant nor sow, but they are fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a Heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your heart is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Now, folks, God loves us like that. He doesn't even love the lilies, I don't think. He made them for us. We enjoy the lilies. That's what he made them for. I'm sure he looks down on all the works of his hand with contentment and joy and all those things. But I want to tell you, God just made them for us. He doesn't eat them. He doesn't need them. He sees the beauty of the whole universe. But he says, consider, the song says, consider the lilies. Jesus said, consider the lilies. And the song says, then you will know. When your head, let's see. May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine? He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. And you might be thinking, yeah, but I only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes and we got to eat all month long. I only have this little bit of me and everything else is wrong. So many things. Listen. Let's bow our heads, Lord Jesus. Or raise our eyes to heaven as Jesus did. Father, thank you for these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Thank you for it. Bless it and increase it. And with faith, we take it in that God's going to do that. We take it in that God's going to do that in our life. And so when we come to Thursday, shall we let our head hang low while everybody else is rejoicing? Or shall we say, thank you, God. I've got food on the shelf. I've got a good mind. I can get around. Not everybody can get around. Thank the Lord. The Lord's been blessing Brother Earl to get around lately. I was over there when he took a walk on Friday and watched him and helped him. Kind of ran along behind him in case he needed to sit down. You know, this morning, our God is a living God. He wants us to have faith in that living God. And he wants us to have thanksgiving in our hearts, even if it's by faith. Lord, thank you for what I have. Lord, I know there's this multitude that needs to be fed. I know there's this huge thing that I don't know what I'm going to do. Shall we fixate on it, or shall we do as Jesus did and lift up our eyes to heaven and thank him and praise him and ask his blessings upon it and upon our life? Should we not do that this morning? You know, the apostle tells us here in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 8. He says, in everything. Now, how much is that? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, well, what if the devil did it? I want to tell you, it doesn't say to give thanks for everything like that. It says in everything, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of the battle, give thanks. Is that all right? Give thanks in every, two words, in everything. I like that it's split in the middle, not just everything, but in everything, give thanks. I want to tell you something. This would abandon hate. This would abandon so many issues in life today. This would abandon worry if we would live more this way. The Lord help us each one. What a privilege we have to know the Heavenly Father. What a privilege we have that we can know the Lord and that we don't have to be under the curse of the fear of death and the fear of this and the fear of that. The Lord has given and given and given again. Shall we not enjoy that gift today? We talk about Christmas enjoying the gift of Jesus. I want to tell you, we can enjoy the gift of God today, can't we? I want to read the account because it says it's slightly different. It's the same account, but it just adds a little to it. John 6 and 5. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, he just said it to prove him. He had something in mind by saying that. Go buy bread for, you know, Philip, where are we gonna buy enough bread for all this? Well, I can only imagine. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. There, you know, we don't have this kind of money in the coffer. We can't do this. But Jesus wanted to get something to Philip, didn't he? And to the others that were there. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, So the men sat down in number about 5,000, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks. Now the other place it says when he blessed it. You know, both words is good here, isn't it? He took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. It says there that there was a little lad. There was a young fella, and he had these 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And it says here, and Jesus said, make the people sit down. And he took those that lad had. Now, how's that lad going to feed 10,000 people or more? Because he gave it to Jesus. I want to challenge us this morning. I want to tell you something. The Lord wants your life. He wants what you have. He wants your abilities. Not because they can do it. What is this among all this? Nothing. Nothing. We don't have much. But God can take it and do what he wants to with it. He could have made it into mountains of gold if he'd have wanted to, couldn't he? But he needed it, and God won't take it from you necessarily. God wants you to give it. He's not going to take your life from you and make you serve him. He wants you to give it to him. We don't know what he's going to do. We just know he's going to do something good. And this morning, I want to encourage us that just like this little lad, this little boy, brought these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gave them to the Lord. You know, he didn't know what the Lord was going to do. This is my dinner, and I'm hungry. And the Lord says, here, give them here. And he gives them. And the Lord then fed 10,000 people or so. All this women and children and 5,000 men and all of this the Lord did because that lad gave what he had. Folks, I want to tell you, if we look at what we don't have, we will never give anything. We must not look at what we don't have. I don't have perfect understanding of everything. I don't have the ability to get up and say anything. I'm not going to tell you the Lord's going to have you say anything, but if he does, it's going to be because he blesses you. It's going to be because he blesses it, not because you were so gifted. I want to tell you, there's something about God's blessing that changes the nature of all things. Oh, I hate to hear. I'm going to tell you right now, one of the things I hate to hear worst is I can't. Folks, nobody could have said that better than I. Listen, I want to tell you something. It would be easy to say I can't. But I want to tell you something. Paul said, I can. He said, I can do all things through Jesus Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's what Paul said. I want to challenge us this morning that let this Thanksgiving be a little different than last Thanksgiving. Let's thank God for what we have. Let's offer what we have, and let's offer it to God. And it just might be that he'll want you to share a little of that. It just might be that he'll want you to bring someone in with you that don't have. And I want to tell you, that's a blessing. Oh, but I can't do that because... Oh, come on, don't go there. Put the can't out of it. Oh, yeah, but I can do this because the Lord. That's why I can. Because he, and take the can't, take the apostrophe T out of it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. All this morning, when he had given thanks, then he distributed. He didn't do this as a show of his macho. His disciples didn't do that. He gave thanks to God, and God blessed it. Oh, this morning, has God blessed you with anything? Give it back to God. In 2 Kings 6 and 15, there's a little story here that I just want to touch on because it brings to life some things. 2 Corinthians 16 and 15, or 6 and 15. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, this was Elisha, and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Master, we don't have any way to do, we don't have anything to combat this with. We don't have anything." And you know what his master, that had known the Lord for a long time, said to him? And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." I have wondered many times, do you really think that Elisha saw the chariots and horses in the mountains when he said that? I kind of doubt it. I just doubt it. I just think that he knew God was with him. He said, "Those that are with us are more than they that are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of the Lord. Do you know this morning that the Lord can do whatever we need? But did you know something else? He will. He will. He not only can, but he will. This morning, I would that our faith would reach up. And Lord, open our eyes today. Open our eyes that we can quit complaining about. Open our eyes that we can quit hating, if there's anybody in here that hates. Open our eyes that we can really live for God. Lord, open our eyes that you will help me in this situation over here that seems insurmountable. And it's way bigger than me. And it really is. Open my eyes. Lord, bless it. Lord, I give it to you. And I give myself to you. And I give my actions to you. And I give my destiny to you. And if you allow me, whatever, then Lord, here I am. But look, folks, I want to just encourage us today. Come to the Lord, and you'll be surprised. I believe that. I want to just quickly quote a few scriptures. 1 Thessalonians 5:16-17 says, and 18 says, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing in everything." Here's two words again. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Well, you say, "But I'm taking a loss." Well, I want to tell you something. You're making a gain if you believe in the Lord. If you'll let God have his way, he said he'll make something good out of this for you. Now, does that mean that nobody's going to ever, the devil's not going to work in other people's lives? He will. But I want to tell you, we'll be more pure gold than before. We'll have something inside that we didn't have before. Maybe the Lord will just pour out a measure of peace. You ever had the Lord do that? It's an awesome thing. All of a sudden, the things get so hot until, Lord, I don't know what to do. And the Lord just pours out a peace from heaven. Nothing changes except our heart. And he pours out a peace that's beyond understanding from heaven. You know God will do that for us? We serve that kind of God. Oh, the Lord will do that for all of us. We just have to trust him and take our needs to him. Listen to this in Philippians 4 and 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful," or just the word means don't worry. That's what it means. Just don't worry. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. Everything by prayer and supplication, coming before God, Lord, I need you. I'm in a very low place here. I'm in a very needy place. And I want to tell you something. Your mind is going to be besieged at times, most likely. And you're going to need the Lord to lift you up. And I want to tell you, God will do that. He says, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. So we don't come and just say, Lord, it's not sufficient. We say, Lord, I want to thank you because you're in the middle of this. And this is going to be okay because you're going to help us. With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I've never been tried on that. I'm not going to tell you I've never been insufficient there. I've needed the Lord to help me many times. But what I've found is that if we'll humble ourselves, the Lord will help us, won't he? Paul said in Philippians 4 and 11, dropping on down, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. You see, we talked about adding some things last week. Adding some things to our initial faith and our experience with the Lord. The Lord wants us to add some things. And Paul says he added something here. He learned something. He said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know, he said, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I'm instructed to be able and willing to abound or to suffer need and to still be contented. Oh, the Lord help us today. Those are big words. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Folks, we have to wrestle and fight for some of these things. They don't come easy sometimes because the flesh is just like those disciples back there. They just said, Lord, what is that among so many? There just isn't enough here. And the Lord knew there wasn't enough. But what he wanted them to see was that when he got done, there'd be enough. And there would not only be enough, there would be lots left over. So how are we doing? Do we not have enough? We're in a really good place for the Lord to do one of his things, one of his miracles this morning. And I just want to encourage us today, latch hold of faith and belief in God. Thanksgiving is settled on our faith in God. Did you know that? Thanksgiving is settled on our faith and belief in God. Let God go away, and I'm telling you, in a little bit, I would predict that'll go away too. We see those struggles, don't we, in our society. We need the Lord, and he's willing to help us. And I just wrote this in my notes, a few things I write here and there. Blessed is the man that is contented with what he has in life. And I want to throw one little thing interjected here. What you have this morning, yes, I'm saying you, is way more than the people we've been hearing about that we know of, that know our people, and some of them are our people, that struggle to have food on the table day after day. They struggle to have the basic necessities of life met. I think most of us here could say we easily have those met. We have plenty of food every day. We have a way to get it, don't we? And if we don't, we know people that'll get it for us. We know that, don't we? Let's keep that contrast in mind. When I'm tempted to think, why don't I have what so-and-so has? Why does he let me go through all these battles and so-and-so don't? I want to tell you, submit it to the Lord and thank him for what you do have, because you got a lot. Continue in prayer, Colossians 4 and 2, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Hebrews 13:15 and 16, By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips. Excuse me. Giving thanks to his name. But to do good and communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. I want to tell you, I have watched the Lord work with people so many times. I want to tell you, as we pour ourselves out to the Lord heals us many times. He just takes good care of his vessels, folks. The Lord will help us. Does he ever let us suffer? Yes, he does. His scriptures tell us to expect to be persecuted and to have troubles in this life. We're going to have troubles in this life, but I want to tell you, God has more than enough, a lot more than enough, to take care of our troubles. The Lord bless us today. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And one more. Giving, Ephesians 5 and 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. All this morning, folks, we sometimes hear the scriptures and they enter our mind and we put a but before it. But, folks, these things are for us. And the Lord wants every one of us to be a full-fledged, complete partaker. Now let's do that. Let's go out from here with an attitude adjustment. Lord, I'm going to quit looking. I'm going to quit looking at what I don't have. And I'm going to praise you for every little thing I have. And when I wake up in the morning and I feel like, oh, it's another day, I'm going to say, thank you, God. Haven't we seen when those dark times come, probably to everybody sometimes. I want to tell you something. I've seen the clouds vanish. Just go away by turning and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have this warm house. Oh, Lord, thank you. I've got food today. And thank you that I know you above all things. How did I come to know you, Lord? You sought me out. Thank you for the blessings, for the protection that you've given. Thank you, Lord, for the times that you have worked so that I know that God is real. I want to tell you, you start looking to God. It's not going to be very long until you're going to be able to say, I know God lives. I know he's real. And I know his son, Jesus Christ, will save my soul from eternal torment. Oh, the Lord bless everyone. We have so much to be thankful for this morning. And let us not be short to just eat the turkey this Thanksgiving Day. But let's be long on the fact that we have so many things to be thankful for. Shall we not share them? Shall we not say thank you, God? And see what the Lord will increase. Amen. You pray for me.